Hello, Dreamers. It's Janine.
And Stephanie.
And welcome to The Course of Course, episode 39. We're almost there. That's not bad. And then going into 2016, we're definitely going to hit our 50th episode. We should have a 50th episode party. We haven't been on mic for a while. A lot of stuff has happened. I want to first touch on the situation that occurred in France last week, I think, terrorist activity. And people in the course community that were so great at, you know, discussion groups and all that kind of stuff. Basically just bringing it back to the idea that this is just a dream. None of this is real. It's very ego-based. I think sometimes easy to get caught up in it. I was at work and people were talking about it. And I remember starting to be in a dialogue with somebody and they're saying, oh, you know, I can't believe this happened. And I was responding like, yeah, you know, that this is terrible. Like I was jumping right into the whole thing, even though I knew it kind of was just a dream anyway. Mm-hmm. But it's challenging to throw that out there when people are having these kind of reactions. I don't want to be like, oh, come on. I don't want to negate their feelings just because it's a dream.
Right. A couple things come to mind. The first thing was I purposely didn't watch any television because I didn't want visuals. I didn't want to make it real while continuing to forgive. But the other thing was this is each of our dreams. So we're each dreaming this horridness.
Like this bizarre collective dream.
Yeah.
But I think the more we have the dialogue about it and use those same words, like it's a tragedy and it makes it real, something that really isn't real.
Right.
But you can't help it. I mean, there were true emotion that was happening.
And it's so there is something that happened in this world.
In this dream world.
In the false world, something happened.
Right. It's kind of like that interesting parallel that we're constantly living through where we recognize as course students that this isn't real, but we still have to exist in that which is not real on a daily basis. It's kind of like one foot in one world and then the other foot in the other world. Often because the dream world is so visceral and consuming. Mm-hmm. It'd be challenging to remember, hey, wait a minute, this isn't really happening. It's not real. It's just an ego separation because we're with God right now. We're with God. None of this is really happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's our own little play going on, collective play sometimes.
And you had mentioned you went back to book 3 of Gary's and it wasn't one of the cities that was mentioned where something will happen eventually.
Right. So in Gary's third book,
Love Has Forgotten No One.
He talked a little about some terrorist activity and bombing and stuff like that in there. Because I had thought, oh, wait a minute, Paris must have been one of those cities. And when I looked at it, the context is, I think Artner Persa was talking about, you know, these terrorist activities that occur. I think it was around the same narrative of the 9/11 stuff. They were just sort of talking about that and mentioned some cities that not necessarily it was going to happen that a dirty bomb or something like that would go off, but these are cities that it could happen. And it was Los Angeles, New York City, Tel Aviv, and London. Mm-hmm. So 4 cities. And I thought, well, you know, maybe, as you said, the script changed. Who knows? Or maybe we're just looking for future stuff that could be happening. I don't know.
But kind of questioning, what is this for? Why is it happening?
It's like an extreme version of egos. It's that extreme version of separation and anger and anxiety. It's so not God. It is like the opposite of God.
Yeah, so those people, I don't know if it's really a religious thing that there is the basis of why they're doing what they're doing, like if they want to spread their thought system around the world, or what motivates them, if they feel like we've taken something from them that they're trying to get back. But I think that's kind of interesting to look at, too, without spinning out too much, because that's what the ego wants us to do, is to make meaning. But like, why is this happening? Like, beyond it's an opportunity for forgiveness, why is this happening? You know, maybe the course is gonna, I don't know, like something might come through where there's actually another way to think.
I can see that, but I also think it's fascinating that we see human beings separating. So we talked before about, you know, in nature, cells separate and people, even course students, will get together and they'll kind of separate into little groups. But with the terrorist groups, we had Taliban. That was this huge thing years ago. Mm-hmm. Now you don't really hear too much about them. Now it's ISIS or ISIL. Still confused about that. I know the first IS in ISIS means Islamic State. I don't know what the other part of it is.
Okay.
And then there's Boko Haram, which is in Africa. It's like we start seeing these splinter groups of terrorist cells, you know? Like, mm-hmm. we as human beings can't stop dividing right. instead of uniting.
Right.
Because we're all one collective. Which is why it's so bizarre, you know, how people, human beings, can be so ruthless and so hateful.
I'm wondering if in 100 years when Artin and Persa come back, if there will be a shift that has happened before then, where maybe terrorist groups don't exist anymore, or maybe less than.
That would be awesome.
Like, I would hope we're going to evolve in this timeline in a spiritual way, because eventually we do, because we're not here. I just think that there might be something really great that could come out of this, what seems to be horrible.
Somebody had said, and I can't remember where I saw this, to always focus when tragedies occur on those who are helping. The helpers, because that's where you see the better part of our natures. It's like, oh, look at these people who are so selfless that they will run in and pull people out and you know, administer aid.
That brings up anger in me, because I think of 9/11 and how people came in and helped, and then they all have cancer. And then the insurance companies don't want to treat them for cancer. I mean, that was one of John Stewart's pet peeves that he was speaking out about. So even when people are kind and taking their own life at risk to go help other people, it's still in our crazy nature to not even help those people that were helping the people.
Yeah, it's
because
odd,
we're still
it?
Greedy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
But I think the particular Paris situation where terrorist activity occurred in a number of different places. There are some pretty amazing stories of those who went in and assisted. And, you know, some of these scenes are pretty horrific. There was a 60 Minutes interview that was done last week, and they were interviewing two of the people who were basically ground zero, so to speak. One was at the concert theater, and one was at, like, walking toward one of the restaurants in which gunfire came out. And they were just talking about what that was like being right there in the epicenter of the situation. And it's very easy to kind of be like, wait a minute, what am I watching? Mm-hmm. You know, what is really happening here? It takes a while for your brain to kind of zone in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this, how did I get here in this moment in time? Why me? Because we all have these moments where we go to a shopping mall. Nobody ever thinks, oh, I'm at the shopping mall right when something's happening. It's bizarre, the timing. It's also bizarre that people's scripts were written with them there.
And to remember it's from the ego script.
Right.
That put us in these situations.
And that there's always something to learn from it. I mean, we were just talking about how neither one of us really appreciate traffic. And you just have to, being in LA, that is just a part of our day. We just have to, you know, be like, okay, I'm going to be traffic. But that doesn't mean we don't get frustrated by it. And you were talking about how you just have to let it go. Just give it back up to Jesus.
Yeah, I was listening to the course last night when it took me an hour and a half to just go from, you know, Century City to Universal, which should have taken me about 40 minutes, 45 minutes in normal time. And I was frustrated. So yeah, I just had to like go, you know what? I'm stopped. I'm not moving. Let's just meditate. Like, clearly the Holy Spirit script right now is telling me to stop all the crazy in my head and just go within.
Well, I think it's a good point. It's take every moment that's going on in your life and see what you can do to have it work for you.
Yes, because it shifted the whole experience, because I kept asking myself, why am I not experiencing peace? I'm listening to the course. Well, it's because I was still in the ego mind of wanting to kill everyone to get out of my way.
How easy it is to shift from, I want to kill everybody, or I was actually...
Not really, of course, but...
Well, I was talking to somebody at work, and I was saying, you know, there are days where I just love everyone, and there are other days I just want to punch everybody in the face. Mm-hmm. It's like, where did that come from with me? It just came out. Like, okay, well, I can choose differently. And part of my journey as a course student is recognizing when I can choose differently and doing it.
Yeah, when I'm upset, that's an opportunity.
When I'm upset, we were talking earlier, I'm not the most wildly emotional person. And we have people in our life that are, sometimes it could be challenging because it's just not who we are. We're not emotional in that way. And they're very trigger sensitive emotional. And to try to figure out how to deal with them, there's nothing wrong with them or us. It's just a different kind of way of experiencing life. And it's not something that I'm really well suited for in terms of dealing with it, because, you know, I've been around it most of my life. And certainly growing up, I had an aversion toward those who were very, very sensitive. Mm-hmm. So I just ignore it or avoid it. But as an adult, there are just people around. We can't quite do that with? So how do we find the tools in which to embrace them and let them be, even though, I don't know about you, but the emotional folk in my life can be a little judgmental and make me wrong because I'm not doing something or following through on something or whatever. So it's that kind of like, how do I deal with the judgment of someone else, which we're just in different places and I don't get it. Mm-hmm. I don't always know how to deal with it. Because it's kind of like just anathema to who I am. And the more I'm around people who are very sensitive, the more I'm trying to be like, okay, what are they really doing here? And I'm finding that I can't even get into that mind space.
It's almost like they're projecting their guilt and their life not working on other people so they don't have to be responsible because they can blame other people.
Yeah. So I always try to find a way to make it okay for me in that situation. And to be honest with you, sometimes making it okay for me in that situation is to just hang up or walk away. I wish I can come up with better tools. I'm just not there yet.
Well, you know, I was reading the text or hearing something about in special relationships, if we turn it over to the Holy Spirit at the beginning. So maybe it's just the beginning before I call my sister.
You know what? I really like that idea.
Like turning it over before we know we're about to have an interaction with this sensitive person.
The Abe Hicks material talks about pre-paving, same thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's something we could try on is...
No, I agree. If it's a planned thing, sometimes it's just not all that planned. It just happens spontaneously.
Sure.
I know I have to do better with that because it's not their problem. It's my problem. I'm the perceiver. It just is one of those issues that I think keeps coming up with certain people.
Yeah, that particular sister I've kind of let go. Mm-hmm. But she's still choosing to interact with you. And so you're having to deal with the emotional sensitivity that I've kind of gone, right. Okay, I've moved on.
I think it's hard for anybody to get a lot of judgment coming at you. And I feel like, well, if they're just going to judge me like that and make me wrong, then I just don't want to interact with them. And that's not the right approach either. I don't want to not have people in my life who are just super sensitive.
Right.
Just because I have an issue with it. It's like I recognize I need to figure out how to deal with it. And it's like they need to deal with whatever.
Yeah.
But I also know that at least for one of these people in my life, they don't really recognize that there's an issue there. So it's not for me to teach them. It's not for me to do anything with them. It's for me to figure out how to make it work for me. Because there's judgment coming at me, sometimes I'm like, not hear from them for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like just being okay with that.
It's talking in the teaching part.
Manual for teachers?
Yeah, that to teach is to learn. The teacher and the learner are the same. And part of the teaching purpose is to demonstrate that there are two thought systems. And it goes on to talk about how we come in and out of each other's lives with these special relationships. So they do kind of maybe have some hostility and it's pretty heated. And maybe we just stop talking to them for a while because it's too much. But then they come back into our life again as another opportunity to examine it and forgive it. And so there's this dance that's going on between our special relationships, which are opportunities because it's really us, right? Like that person's me. That person's emotional sensitivity is actually something that I've created.
So let's talk a little more about special relationships. The course talks about how they're important. They're just like all relationships are important to us. Obviously, we love the fact that special relationships are there because there's an opportunity to turn them into holy relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be great if every special relationship I had in my life, I was able to turn it? I still have some special relationships that are at least one that is kind of bordering on special hate. So it's like working through that. And for me, there's a huge gulf between special hate and holy right now.
Sure.
In that one.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of it becoming a holy one is too much for my my psyche to take in right now. But I can very easily get there with many of my other special relationships easily.
I wonder if the pure and innocent, all is forgiven, all is released might be beneficial.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I
have not been
as
diligent with that as I should. But when I was looking back in the third book to find out about that passage about which cities are going to be affected by a terrorist activity, I also saw where I had highlighted a bunch of stuff in Love Has Forgotten No One. And a lot of it was these kind of mantras and stuff like that. So clearly, it's like that's where my mind was there. And I'm still kind of in that same space.
That gap. I don't know. I just feel like any possible emotion or thought that could be expressed that exists in the universe will happen because it's all there.
Right.
But really, it's just oneness.
It's just I need to get to the point where my special hate, I only see it through the filters of oneness and love and acceptance.
But that's the end. So I think there's a journey to get there.
Yeah, and I feel like I've been stalled.
There. Starting with the pure and innocent might be a way to kind of peel off.
That's a good point. I think I'm going to give myself a note to just keep saying it.
And I would also say it to myself, too. Like, I am pure and innocent. She is me and I am her and we're all one or whatever.
That goes back to what I was sort of alluding to with the sensitive type folk. I get stuck in that place of, oh, I did something wrong. I said I was going to go visit somebody and I'm not able to. And so therefore, there's something wrong with me, right? Yeah. And how do I get past that? It's like, I can forgive myself. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Like we were saying earlier that kind of feel like we all have good intentions, but sometimes it just isn't going to work out in that time and space. And that's okay. And we need to let people change their mind. I know that's hard to hear, especially like with the bigger picture. I'm married and I had said 20 years ago to my husband, till death do us part. But as I get older and start experiencing different things and, you know, start taking journeys, maybe what I had promised 20 years ago might not be what I want now. It's okay.
Sure. I agree 1,000%.
I just think that we need to be more gentle with each other in terms of this kind of thing. We see this. I remember talking to somebody about Thanksgiving because it's coming up as we're recording this. We're almost at Thanksgiving in 2015 and how people are like, oh yeah, I'm going to go visit my relative or whatever. And then they just decide, I don't want to do that. And there's so much judgment projected on them. Well, and he wouldn't even come to see me at Thanksgiving, right? So it's kind of like very easy to slip into that judgment of, oh no, he said he was going to and now he didn't. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, did you really want somebody to come if they didn't want to be there? So it's not about you.
15 hours and show up stressed out.
Right. It's not about you expecting them to do something. You know, it's about two people deciding what they need for themselves. So when that happens, because obviously that's been going on in my life right now, it's kind of like going through that, it's okay. I am pure and innocent. Mm-hmm. All is forgiven and released. Like going through my own thing, because I started feeling guilty. It's like, stop. Where are you right now? Would you feel better if you went? The answer is no.
And you just changed your mind. And that's okay.
And that's okay. I think we need to release people from our own expectations of what they should do and behave and all that kind of thing.
So I finished my lessons.
I'm so, so proud of you.
And now I have my little signs up all over the place. This holy instant, what I give to you, you be in charge, for I would follow you, certain your direction gives me peace. So that was lesson 361 through 365, 8 to 10 days on that one.
You know what I love about the lessons? That there are a string of them. They're the same thing every day. Like do this for a week or whatever. But I so appreciate that there's still 365 of them. So it's like every day, once a year, that's your commitment. Even though they might be repeats. Or there might be, you know how like for a while there was that week where it's like, go back and review the stuff you already did.
Yeah.
I still appreciated that because I was going through some of these way too fast. Mm-hmm. I was not really savoring them as much as I should have. So it was a nice kind of check on me to be like, all right, hold on. Let's back it up. Yeah.
In the epilogue, it says the course is beginning. It's not an end. And I have here slowing down to hear the voice of God. Slowing down is a big thing for me. I think that's one of my lessons in this time period. I don't know. I guess I just want to talk about that special relationship New York experience I had that was so blissful. And then how I felt anxiety when I came back and the extreme. And some time now has passed to be able to process it and think about it. And just how happy I was for those 3 or 4 days with this particular person, how powerful the ego can use the body. I don't know about taking us off track because there was so much joy there. But what I'm kind of getting is it's not only just the person I was with, it's that I didn't have to be around all the work commitments of monitoring my emails every hour or something. And just how much I'm looking forward to retiring. and being able to just slow down. It feels like life is really, really fast. And that's how it's designed by the ego to keep us preoccupied.
I feel overscheduled, and you are way more overscheduled than I am. But for me, and I'm sure it's a control mechanism of my ego, but I love knowing when I'm going to wake up, knowing how much time it's going to take to like brush my teeth and do my hair and get ready and go to work. How much time is going to take to drive to work? I am so regimented that when I'm off my game, it really bothers me. But because I'm so regimented during the week, I don't like doing a darn thing on the weekend. Like nothing. I don't like being scheduled on the weekends. I can do a couple things, but the idea of having an entire day, like you're pretty scheduled. For me, it would be like, well, that feels like work. That doesn't feel like relaxation. Like we were talking about, this, listeners, I recognize the fact what I'm about to say is ridiculous, but I'm going to say it anyway. So we have beauty appointments and we get really annoyed because we don't like getting our nails done because it takes time. Or our hair done. This is really starting to sound ridiculous. But anyway, it's like that time that we're giving up. It's such a luxury that we forget. I mean, there were times in our lives where we couldn't afford this. We couldn't afford the stuff that we're doing that we're complaining about because it takes time. How crazy is that?
I pretty much, if I'm at a nail appointment, I'm listening to the course audio. If I'm at a hair appointment, I'm definitely reading my lessons in the text. So I'm always trying to cram in the course wherever I have moments. If I'm sitting and waiting at an appointment to go in, I'll read something just to constantly kind of keep me connected. That helps.
Good for you.
I highly recommend that.
I will go on a limb and say that sometimes I get bored by the course. I mean, I love Jim Stewart. I think he's great, but I can only hear it for so long. And then it starts like not really being heard. It's kind of like white noise. So I have to separate myself from it before I can go back to it.
But even just like going to lunch and coming back, just the action of doing something different breaks it so that when I jump into the car and it automatically comes on, I'm already in a new place to be open to listen to it.
This is why I really hope that the second and the third Gary book somehow finds its way to audio. I'm kind of desperate for that. I mean, I've read the book so many times, but I would like to hear it. I would like to hear it in audio, especially two. I love three, but to me, two had a lot of meat to it.
I'm thinking about value because it was talking about feeling happy. Is what you're doing in this moment giving you joy and happiness, or is it harmful? And how we give value to everything, and how having sex can be fun and lovely.
Yep.
You know, and having a good glass of wine is fun and lovely. And it was talking about the desires that we have and how these desires are making everything real. So there's a part of me that wishes I could meditate all day long and just not spend time or what, like not being attached to these desires and somehow simplify more, because I feel like is the overall thing is about letting go of this dream world, letting go by not giving value to these things and not having desires. So I'm kind of in this confused state of like, I want to have sex with this person that I love and that I want to be with, but ultimately maybe it's not ideal. It's not part of the Holy Spirit plan.
I don't even see it that way, because I think it's a fair assumption that Jesus and Mary had sex.
Yeah. So and like, I don't think there's anything wrong with having sex, of course. It's just this person lives 3,000 miles from me. So it's like, am I supposed to find someone else to have someone warm in the bed? Like someone showed me the Tinder and they were going through hundreds of images of these men and they're trying to encourage me to sign up for this. And it's like, I'm not really that kind of person.
I find it so charming that you're the last person on earth that found out about Tinder.
I just don't pay attention to that stuff. I've never been into dating, or I have to date, or I have to have a boyfriend, so I don't hear about these things.
I know. It's just, it's been kind of like in the zeitgeist for a while.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard the word, but I didn't know what it was. Mm. I'm sure there's others out there.
I know. There are not. You are the last person on the planet.
But having that weekend with my significant other and just how joyful it was and wanting to have that more, like I can feel that addiction. I can feel that love is a drug. But I want my love to come from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
I want it to be a different kind of
and
love.
And you know what? That's the key, I think. And I think you're getting there. You're right. There's a distance between you and he. But there's also other he's locally, I think. If that is really something that you want to have in your life, there's certainly other options. From a desire standpoint, there's not a darn thing wrong with it. Even though this is a dream world and all that kind of stuff, you should still enjoy it. I mean, you can't just say, oh, I don't want that hot fudge sundae because it's not really there. Forget that. Eat it. And the reality is, you can still fly back and see him, and he can certainly, you can always just buy him a ticket and have him fly out here.
Right.
You can find time for each other.
Right.
But there must be a reason why the situation is what it is, because it, you know, you guys do have your own lives.
Right. I had said a couple years ago when my special hate relationship brought me to the course, and I've been working for the last couple years on the lessons, that I didn't want to get a boyfriend and start dating because all I wanted to focus on were the lessons. So it's interesting that now that I finished the lessons, just kind of out of the blue, I got to go see him.
Yeah, don't think that's a coincidence.
Right. So when they're talking about these special relationships are coming and going in our lifetime and they're progressing,
mm-hmm.
and there potentially could be a holy relationship, I do think that's possible with him.
At least in the Gary books, I'm pretty sure Art and Persa were talking about, when it comes to children, people who are sort of like almost at the end of their
journey.
Yeah. They don't have a lot of children because the need isn't there. It's not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And you start being open to holy relationships as opposed to special relationships. I think it's a natural progression, and I think you're definitely progressing along that path.
There's a part of me that feels like my goal is to let go of all these physical things.
You mean just be like, I no longer am interested in what?
Well, like, I don't need to go on Tinder and go have sex with men 10 times
right.
during the week. Like, I don't need that stuff. The desire for things is lessening.
For me, it's kind of like, it's okay to enjoy kind of the third world stuff, but just not get attached to it.
Yeah, because, I mean, if this is the false world and we're trying to build the bridge and we're all one, in a weird way, it's like we'd be doing it with ourselves.
Right.
But I just feel like letting go is something that's a big part of the course. Letting go of the body, letting go and giving everything over to God, letting the journey unfold because it's in the script versus me trying to manage and control every detail.
Well, in it may have been the second Gary book, don't remember, when he talked about the life of Jesus and Mary and Thaddeus and Thomas and Isa. They were talking about how Jesus and Mary, they had great humor and, you know, they all drank and stuff and they would teleport and they kind of enjoyed their third dimension experience. I think of them and think, well, they really like enjoyed the heck out of it, but they weren't all that attached to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, I don't want to walk away and say, oh no, I don't want to enjoy this very soft bed, you know, because it's good for my back. Well, heck yeah, I am.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah,
so it's
yeah.
like, I'm okay with third dimension stuff, just not getting too attached to any of it. It's like, enjoy it. It is what it is. And then kind of move on.
I always say, everything in moderation, mm-hmm. including moderation.
Yeah.
Shadows. The text talks a lot about shadows. And I think I thought it would be like some boogeyman lurking around the corner that was going to jump me. But now my mind is getting that these are my sisters. Like, these are the people in my life.
That's a really good point.
They are the shadows. And they're just shadows of my own self. So
right.
I just want to keep healing that mental illness in us all that's in Isis. That's in all of us.
Yeah, somehow get to the point where we can all acknowledge the Jesus within us, the God within us. I was rereading that point about in Gary's book where we talk about namaste, and it's kind of like, it's still a separation idea. Like,
mm-hmm.
I bow down to the divinity in you. The divinity of me in me bows down to the divinity in you. It's like, well, no, it's the same
divinity.
Yeah, it's like interesting that even in our spiritual speak, we're still doing this.
Separating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that ends the 39th podcast of The Course of Course. We will be back in a few weeks. I think our next journey is going down to San Diego to a Gary and Cindy Renard. This was the same place we went a year ago around this time,
mm-hmm.
in Del Mar. Is it Del Mar?
Yeah, Del Mar area.
It's like greater San Diego. So we're looking forward to that. Hopefully, if we had met some of you when we were at the San Diego talk, which I think it was in August.
In La Jolla.
In La Jolla. Looking forward to seeing some of you if you're going to be down there. We thought you guys were all great, so can't wait. And I think it's Suki and Suzanne. It's at their home. So thanks again to them for opening their home. It's a lovely place, and it's always nice to be around people who were so generous with their space and time.
It was a powerful weekend that weekend.
That one really was amazing. We were really juiced up after that one, I think.
So we have Thanksgiving. So we're grateful to everyone sharing the dream with us.
Very much so.
We are shining light and truth on this crazy world. And then we go to the workshop. And so we'll be back in a couple of weeks.
And on that note, thank you, listeners. We will see you soon.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Bye-bye.